Welcome to SpaceX Daily, where we delve into the latest developments in the world of space exploration and technology. Today, we're joined by Mark Stellarprobe, a space policy analyst, to discuss a rather intriguing report about SpaceX's business practices. Mark, great to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Ashley. Always a pleasure to talk space.
So the Wall Street Journal is reporting that SpaceX has been leveraging its position as the dominant player in the launch market to, shall we say, encourage its Starlink competitors to play nice when it comes to wireless spectrum.
That's right. It seems SpaceX has been asking companies like Kepler and OneWeb to share their spectrum rights with Starlink as a condition, or at least a strong suggestion, for getting their satellites launched.
It's a fascinating situation. On the one hand, spectrum is a finite resource, and coordinating its use is crucial, especially as we see a surge in mega constellations like Starlink. But on the other hand, SpaceX is essentially using its control over access to space as leverage in a completely different market.
Exactly. And that's what has some people crying foul. The report mentions that some satellite and rocket companies have even gone to the Justice Department's antitrust division, concerned that SpaceX might be abusing its dominant position.
It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. It highlights the complexities of regulating a rapidly evolving industry like space, where the lines between different sectors can get blurry. Is SpaceX simply being a savvy operator in a competitive environment, or are they crossing a line? We'll have to wait and see. Well, Mark, speaking of things moving fast in the sky, we can't ignore Elon Musk's recent comments on UFOs. He seems pretty convinced they're not aliens, but rather top-secret government projects.
Yes, Ashley, his take is certainly raising eyebrows. He's basically saying that these unexplained aerial phenomena, or UAPs as they're officially called, are just advanced tech being tested by the military. Stuff so classified even high-ranking officials might not be in the loop.
And his argument hinges on the sheer number of satellites SpaceX operates. With thousands of Starlink satellites in orbit, he claims they'd have encountered something by now if aliens were buzzing around.
It's an interesting point. You'd think with that much coverage, they'd have picked up something unusual. But then again, we're talking about potentially highly advanced technology, capable of maneuvers and speeds beyond our comprehension. Maybe they're just that good at avoiding detection.
Of course, the cynic in me can't help but wonder if Musk's stance is a clever way to deflect attention from any potential UAP sightings SpaceX might have had. Imagine the PR nightmare if it came out that SpaceX had data on something truly unexplainable.
That's a possibility, Ashley. Though, he did say he'd be the first to announce it on X if he found evidence of aliens. Maybe he's just a pragmatic businessman who sees no profit in fueling speculation about extraterrestrial life.
It's all very intriguing. And with the Pentagon's ongoing investigation into UAPs, including historical sightings dating back to World War II, it seems we're no closer to definitive answers. One thing's for sure, this mystery is far from over. So, Mark, SpaceX is gearing up for the next Starship test flight, and it seems they're not shying away from the explosives this time around. What's the latest on the FTS installation?
Well, Ashley, it's standard procedure to install the flight termination system before any launch. It's essentially a safety measure to ensure ground control can neutralize the rocket if it veers off course. But what's interesting here is the timing and the context.
Right, because this comes after the dramatic first flight where the second stage failed to separate, and the rocket tumbled before exploding. They had issues with the FTS then, didn't they?
Exactly. SpaceX admitted that a delayed activation of the AFSS, which is part of the FTS, contributed to the first Starship's demise. So seeing them install the explosives now, after destacking the Starship and Super Heavy, suggests a few things.
Like what?
First, it shows they're confident in the FTS after enhancements and requalification. Second, it indicates they're aiming for a Sunday launch, as those batteries powering the FTS have a limited lifespan. They wouldn't install them this early unless they were serious about the launch window.
And let's not forget the road closures in Boca Chica. It seems Judge Trevino is expecting some flight activity this Sunday.
Absolutely. Those closures are another strong indicator that SpaceX is confident in their launch preparations and believe they'll get the FAA's green light.
This launch could be a big one, Mark. It's the first attempt at catching the Super Heavy booster with the tower's catch arms. If successful, it's a major milestone for their reusability goals.
It's a bold move, no doubt. Imagine the precision required to pull that off. But if anyone can do it, it's SpaceX. And if they can master this catch system, it'll revolutionize space travel as we know it.
Speaking of ambitious space ventures, let's talk about Baiju Bat, the Robinhood co-founder who's now set his sights on space-based solar power with his new company, Etherflux. Mark, what's your take on this seemingly audacious idea?
It's certainly ambitious, Ashley, but I wouldn't dismiss it as audacious. The concept of space-based solar power has been around for decades. What's changed is the economics, thanks in no small part to companies like SpaceX driving down launch costs.
Right, and Etherflux isn't alone. We've seen a surge of interest in this field with companies like Virtus Solis and Space Solar also developing space-based solar projects. What makes Etherflux's approach stand out?
Their choice of technology is interesting. Instead of microwaves, which require large receiving stations on Earth, Etherflux plans to use infrared lasers for power transmission. This allows for smaller satellites and a smaller footprint on the ground. It's a more scalable and potentially more cost-effective solution.
It sounds like they're borrowing a page from SpaceX's playbook. Smaller, more frequent launches, leveraging existing technology to iterate quickly. But can they really compete with established players in the renewable energy sector?
That's the billion-dollar question, literally. While BAT is initially self-funding Etherflux, they'll need significant outside investment to scale up. The potential is enormous, especially for applications where traditional power infrastructure is challenging, but it's still a long shot.
It's fascinating to see how private companies are pushing the boundaries of space exploration and its potential benefits for life on Earth. It'll be interesting to see how Etherflux's journey unfolds in the coming years. Now, Mark, let's shift gears to a different kind of space weather challenge. A severe solar storm is predicted to hit Earth on Thursday and Friday, and this could have implications for satellite communications, including SpaceX's Starlink. What's your take on this?
It's definitely a concern, Ashley. These G4 level storms are nothing to sneeze at. They can cause all sorts of havoc with radio signals and satellite operations. Remember the Carrington event back in 1859? That was a G5 storm, and it fried telegraph systems worldwide. We're much more reliant on technology now, so a similar event today would be massively disruptive.
Absolutely. And it's not just theoretical. We saw a G5 storm back in May, the first since 2003. Starlink reported some minor disruptions then. This time, though, they're also providing emergency communications in areas hit by Hurricane Helene. The stakes seem higher.
They are, and the timing couldn't be worse. But it's a good test for Starlink's resilience. SpaceX claims their system is designed to withstand these events. This storm will put that claim to the test. How well they handle it will be a key indicator of their long-term viability, especially for critical services.
Indeed. It highlights the delicate balance between our increasing reliance on space-based infrastructure and the unpredictable nature of space itself. We'll be watching closely to see how this unfolds. And that wraps up another week of SpaceX Daily. From space-based solar power to solar storms threatening those very systems, we've covered a lot of ground today. It's clear that the final frontier is becoming increasingly intertwined with our lives here on Earth. Thanks for joining us, Mark. It's always a pleasure.